Well, Lord, we bless you and thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done with us already this morning. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that you are compassionate. You are faithful. You are all-powerful, and not only can you keep your word, you're faithful to do it. And for every hungry heart, you supply a full meal. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And we thank you. And we thank you that you meet every individual at the level where they're at. There may be some that these things are new, and others who have heard so much already, and they're desiring for something a little more. There's something for everybody today. Holy Ghost, you're the teacher. And we invite you to speak what you will by my voice this day. And we thank you as we open up your word and look to you that there's an abundance. There is green pasture and still waters. We thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. We all say,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I've had a particular thing kind of come up in my heart, and even as of yesterday, while I'm writing some things down, I don't fully know the depth of it and where it's going to go. So if you would, open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, and we'll read a little scripture, and it will reveal and show. Then I'll tell you plainly what the subject is that we're looking at. Therefore, having been justified, oh, notice that it is past tense, been, I have been justified. I'm not looking to be justified. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a good place to say this. You ever hear around Christmas time, you know, where the angels, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and yet on earth there's anything but peace? Ever wonder about that? What that's about? It's this. It's peace with God. There may not be peace between men, but with the coming of Christ, there is peace with God. The war is over. The battle is over. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. You have access to the Lord. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Grace is an ability of God, the strength of God, the power of God, the character and nature of God. It's things that God is and has that we couldn't be and do without His ability. Helping. I had someone this week that I hadn't seen in a good while come and offer to buy me lunch today, and I did. Individual just was kind of saying, well, called me a saint. And this is someone that years ago did not have such a name for me, had different names for me, called me a saint and referred to taking care of Pastor Sandy, told him, happened to be a he, two things. First of all, you don't know what you can do until you have to. Yeah. Because folks say, I could never do what you do. Oh, yeah, you could. If you do it the way I do it, which leads to the second one, you do it by the grace that God gives. You do it by the ability that He gives. If you want to say, well, I can't do this, you're right. You can't. But you can access His grace. That's what the Scriptures tell us. So you can access His power, His ability. You can access what you need, strength. Amen. And when things were kind of at their worst, while we're dealing with what happened to Pastor Sandy, hospitalization, all of that. For me, it was almost a moment by moment, Lord, help me. I need your strength right now and again. There's nothing wrong with moment by moment. You may need help for the next 5 minutes. And then you ask again, and God, I need help again. And as you grow and strengthen, you get to where that help endures longer. And you don't as often need to go and say, Lord, I need help, I need help. Or maybe said another way, you learn how to just live that way. How to just live by that grace that he has for you and will impart to you if you look to him, even moment by moment. So we have that access, and notice that it says, in this grace which we stand. I'm standing in that grace. Are you standing in that grace? Are you trying to live your life, do your thing, or are you standing in the grace that he would supply? Side note, his grace is supplied to you if you're following him for your life. You're out doing something different, there's no grace for that. And this is why, note the story of the prodigal son, some folk got to crash and burn. And then they say, oh, it was better when I was in Father's house. And you make the trip back, and you repent, and you're back in grace, as the expression goes. So it goes on then, verse 3, and not only that, which is that's all shouting and rejoicing stuff, not only that, but we also glory. We were glorying before in this good stuff. We also glory in what? Tribulations. What's tribulations? Troubles, trials, difficulties, hardships, times that are not fun, times that would break you if you don't reach up to God. Tribulations, tribulations, tribulations. And here, Paul, the writer of Romans, is talking about glorying, in a sense saying rejoicing and enjoying tribulations. Whoa, how do you do that? It goes on, says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that, something you got to know, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. So we see here a progression that starts with troubles. Now, I don't have to ask for a show of hands in here. If I would ask the question, anybody have some troubles? It would be every person in the room. Isn't that right? But there's a progression described here that leads to a place of victory. We would like to say things like, Lord, just take this trouble away. Or how do you get out of this trouble? Lord, rescue me out of trouble. And he does, in a sense, but we're going to talk about some of these things a little bit more. But the better description would be he takes us through trouble than gets us out of trouble. You know, it'd be like the politician's kid who gets in all kind of trouble, and because of who his daddy fix it up, and there's no consequences. Now, would you like to be the kid of the King of Kings, and you say, hey, daddy, get me out of this one, and daddy just pays off somebody, and you're all out of it? But your Heavenly Father's not exactly like that, because he won't condone wickedness and wrong and out of step a little bit. He will make sure we learn and grow. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times and places where we are simply rescued. And that's God's mercy. That is God. Anybody in here ever experiences mercy? Whoo! Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Now remember, I'll remind you, hope, when you read it in the Bible, the Greek word that is translated hope has a different meaning from what our English word hope does to us. I developed kind of my own definition of hope. When we say something like, you know, I hope it doesn't rain hard this afternoon because we're going to have a hike outside. Well, that would be, now maybe you could check a weather forecast, but that would be expressing your desire, your preference, but you have no control over the situation, and you don't know the outcome. I prefer this or that happen, but really, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You know, like hoping to win the lottery. Do you have any real foundation for that hope? Well, somebody's going to win it. Yes, yeah, somebody amongst the millions that also bought a ticket, right? They say you have greater chance of being struck by lightning than winning the lottery. So I never heard of anybody hoping they get struck by lightning. But so that's kind of the English understanding of hope and how we use the word hope. I really hope so. I really hope so. That's not what it meant in the Greek word. The Greek word is a confident expectation. Some go a little further, a confident, favorable expectation. And we won't go into much deeper the technicalities, but an expectation means that you have every reason, confidence, and knowledge and basis. So this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. For instance, I'll tell you a confident expectation that I have. Tomorrow, the sun will rise. I have a hope that the sun will rise. Well, see, that has a basis. That has reason. And I can be confident and favorable. There are laws of the universe. Plus, I'm now 62 years old, and there hasn't been a day yet that the sun hasn't risen. Now, maybe it was obscured by the clouds. I haven't yet slept through a day, so I didn't just miss it. But that is what Bible hope means. You expect it, and it has sound basis. You have confidence. I'm sure the sun will rise tomorrow. I'm sure that if I held out my iPad in my hand like this and I let go, I'm sure it will make it to the floor. So I hope it'll make it to the floor. Not English. I hope it makes it to the floor. In English, I could hope that it floats in space until I grab it again so it doesn't get smashed on the floor, but that's the difference. So, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Just to say something about that part right there, confident expectation comes when you have been loved by God and understand you're loved by God. When you know the love of God is in you, you know that God is for you, not against you, that He's working on your behalf. And if you cooperate with Him just a little bit, you'll receive His blessings. Amen. So that's, and it says hope does not disappoint it. That's different from, well, I was hoping this and this would happen, but it didn't, so I'm so disappointed. No, hope, Bible hope, does not disappoint. In other words, Bible hope can't fail. All right, keep that in mind as we go through this. But again, there is an order and a process to leading to victory in life. We saw that here. Tribulation, perseverance, character, and hope. They don't get out of order, and you don't go to the next one without the previous one. So if you want to get to that place where there's hope, confident expectation of the benefit and blessings of God, how do you get there? This is the process. That's why he's saying we can glory in tribulation, because you can say, okay, I've got a trouble. Well, trouble will produce perseverance. I'll keep plowing through. And that perseverance will produce a character, a strength in me. And that strength in me will hope and have a confident expectation. And that hope doesn't disappoint, and I will have what I'm believing. That's why you can get excited about the trouble. I know where this goes. I've been there before. Amen. That's what we're reading, what's talked about here. And so this whole process sounds fun, doesn't it? No? Nobody in here wants to volunteer for some tribulation? Did you wake up this morning and say, Lord, I'm believing for extra tribulation so I can see extra blessing at the end of that process. You know, like, Lord, let's start with the car won't start. That'd be a good one. Nobody prays like that?
No.
No? We pray like, Lord, make everything go smooth today. Just get every trouble out of my way. You know, all them demons, just put them away somewhere, you know. And so-and-so, I don't want to see him today. Or I don't want to see her today. Just get them out of my way. Because, you know, they push my buttons. And if they go there, oh, then I just have to, Lord. I have to answer them. That's more along the lines that we pray. You know, make everything wonderful today. The third verse in the fifth chapter that we've already looked at here in the King James Version, Romans 5:3, in King James. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And now the fourth verse, and patience experience. That's where I'm going. Experience. Experience in King James is the word used instead of perseverance. Or I'm sorry, character. Instead of character. Experience. And experience hope. Experience. Experience. What's an experience? What is experience? Experience is something that you have been through. Something you've witnessed, something you've done before. If you were to hire a carpenter, let's say, you might want an experienced carpenter. You know, you're interviewing, maybe a job, you want to have somebody do a job in your house and ask them, do you have any experience in this? Let's say it's tile, a bathroom floor. Do your tile. Tile's expensive. You don't want to waste your tile. Have you got any experience in doing tile? Well, no, but I watched a YouTube video. I Googled it. I Googled tile on the bathroom floor. Well, you can do that yourself, right? And you may not do it yourself because you lack experience. Now, drywall is another matter. I've got experience doing drywall. And because of my experience, I don't want to do it anymore. I hire for that. But that person I want to be experienced. So experience that comes in, and you can see character. Someone developed in character, someone developed in experience. You can see why those words are kind of interchangeable there. When you talk about character, you might be talking about the internal standards that someone has that they will or will not violate. If I go back to my tile example, someone laying tile in a bathroom, I have a favorite tile setter that I've gotten to where I hire. Recently did some work in our church here. Anymore, I don't even ask him the price. I know his character. Amen. I know his experience. And my experience with him is I see the work. He does what he says he'll do. Looks great when he's done. Pricing has always been fair. And so I had him do bathroom here recently in our church. And then a little bit later, second little bathroom down this hall now. There's a family type bathroom there, you know, a little one. And I said, come on out and do that. I didn't ask him the price. After he's all done, I said, you know how to get an invoice to me, right? He said, oh, don't worry about it. This one's on me. Character. There's something there. The work shows experience. He has experience. Experience is many times indicative of skill. He's good at what he does, right? And so when you're hiring somebody, you want them to have character, experience, skill. And maybe you could separate those three out, but they develop together. Keeping it similar to the scripture here, I certainly learned this. You know, you get better and you get better skills by troubles. difficulties. This is a tough one. There's maybe some things that this one's tough, so I think I'm going to hire someone with more experience. And so we're talking about someone here who gets good at arriving at the place of hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. You will have what you expect from God. So there is a process. For about 3 weeks or so, I've had kind of like a phrase or an idea rolling around on the inside, and it is this. The Lord is telling me, and I'm going to teach on this today, maybe next week also, who knows, we'll see how long, maybe more, but it is this. There is great value in experience. There is great value in experience. Side note, minimum wage. The argument is nobody can live on minimum wage. It's not intended to be a living. It's intended to be a place where someone with little or no experience can get some experience. You see. And what should someone do who doesn't have experience and not develop skills? They should see experience valuable. Take that minimum wage job, master it, get some skills, and now you're worth more than minimum wage. And you start moving up. And you take the next challenge, and you might call a job a tribulation. I don't like this job. I don't want to end up at McDonald's all my life. Well, don't. But take the challenge, take the tribulation, learn how to have patience or perseverance. Notice that New King James said perseverance, King James said patience. Work through that and gain experience. There's great value in experience in the natural side and the spiritual side. If you see somebody that is regularly rolling in blessings of God, and you say, boy, they're blessed, boy, they're blessed, boy, they're blessed. What they are is someone who learned in tribulation, learned to persevere, gained experiences. The experiences increasingly gave them expectation. I've been through this, I've been through that. God help me here, God help me there. He's going to help me here. And it brings that confident expectation, and they come to master that tribulation too. It works naturally that way. It works spiritually that way. So what I'm getting at is this. All of our lives are visited with tribulation, and we should say, okay, let's go. Let's master this thing. Let's learn through this thing, and let's have another experience of victory. For some people, they check their history, and it's history of defeats, and that's their experiences. That can be turned around. Listen to me closely, and we'll turn it around. Amen. There's great value in experience. Let's look at these same verses quickly in the Amplified Version. So Romans 5:3, Amplified. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. I really like something I heard Keith Moore talk about, and I heard it again last week. How long will I endure? Until. I have the answer in hand. That's how long. How long do you keep going? Until you have it. No deadline. How long are we going to be believing God's word concerning Pastor Sandy? Until. There is no deadline. You keep going. And then verse 4, and endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort, remember, character in King James was experience. Experience of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation or any other of the blessings of God as well. So, character or experience or maturity produces a habit of joyful and confident hope. Some people, their demeanor in life is not one that's joyful and confident and hope. Others, you can see that on them about all the time. Doesn't matter what they're going through. Particularly years ago, I noticed this. Some years ago, now Lori Temko here. Yes, she is my sister and a good one. She's been helping us in ministry for, well, we worked together at the church previous, in round numbers, 30 years or something like, well, it couldn't be 30, you're not that old. We had different people in the church with different issues and troubles and so on, and there would be somebody we might be working with to help them get the right view of their situation and get them built up in the Word and get some victory and some success. And I noticed at the time Tyler was going through surgeries and difficulties. And, you know, I mean, some of that was a little bit in Tyler's upper jaw. They were breaking his jaw with these screw things that would press his rows of teeth apart and then let the bone fill in, and then break it and open it again and let the bone fill in. And Temko family is going through that, right? Going through troubles. So we'd have someone come to church and cry on our shoulders, which is all fine, and we'd help them. But I realize she's pouring out help and saying nothing about what she's going through herself. And I remember thinking, if that person knew what she's doing, they would say, oh, well, never mind. My troubles are no problem. And I never heard Lori complain, never seen her down, never saw any kind of woe is me or any troubles, or Jay either. I worked closer with Lori. I would see her day to day. I would know some of the things that are going on, the trips to the hospital and the surgeon, all that stuff, right? Well, she was walking through tribulations with perseverance and patience. It was developing character and experience, and it led her, them both, to a place of, with that experience, confident expectation in the Word of God. And I could see what a difference this individual and her. She was going through tougher stuff than they were. And throughout the time as a pastor, from time to time, we'd talk with somebody, and they have been through hell. But they're not bitter. They're growing. They're doing good. Being productive, helpful, a blessing to others. And then you have somebody that had some little minor thing, and it's destroying them. And I learned this. It's not what happens to people. It's how they respond to it and how they walk through it. And one is making experience their weapon, and the other one, their experience is killing them. Because it could be worse things are happening to some than to others. And the outcome was not determined by what was happening. The outcome was determined by how they walked through it. Let me give you one that I think's about as bad as anything. And this would be, I don't think this is too graphic or anything, but all too common among the women was some sort of sexual abuse when they were young. All too common. And some, it destroys them for years, if not for life. Others, you could never tell. They've overcome. They gained the victory in those tribulations. If we build a history, a library of experiences, and we start building it in experiences of victory, oh, that just can't be overcome. Right after we had praise and worship, read that from 1 John, the epistle, that which we have seen with our eyes, touched with our hands. The disciples had experiences that nobody could talk them out of. They saw it with their eyes. They were there. They touched Jesus. They knew Jesus. They heard in person these words. There are things that nobody can talk me out of. Too late. I have experience with overcoming the impossible. Pastor Dan, how have you gotten so strong? Experiences over the years. And partly where I'm going and what this is about is, if you're still young, whether it be young in these things or young in body, don't abhor or fear the tribulations. Decide to conquer them.
Amen.
Amen. Now, hope, as we know from Hebrews 11:1, I'll just read it to you. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith here, it talks about being tangible in two ways, substance and evidence. But it is substance of something before it, and that is hope. You have to expect, Bible hope, you have to be confidently expecting before faith can show substance, before faith shows evidence. Hope is what you believe. Faith is what you do about it. Faith is tangible. Sometimes people want to say, well, I have faith in my heart, but there's nothing tangible about it. They're not doing anything about it. I just believe. No, that's not what it is. Faith is tangible. There's substance. There's evidence. And it comes from hope. You have to acquire hope first. Well, we just looked at tribulation, persistence, perseverance, patience, character, hope. If you want to be a person of hope, which leads to faith, it starts with tribulation. We need to adopt a mentality about trouble like we do about going through grade school and high school. For me, eighth grade. You know what the best thing about eighth grade was for me? Graduating and getting out of there. That was the best thing about eighth grade. Now, eighth grade was a little tough for me because we moved to a new school in the middle of school year. And all the friends and everything you thought you knew in this world went away. And now you got some new guys that think you're not coming in our space. And it ended up my brother and I had to do a little bit of pushing and punching to make room for ourselves, just to be left alone. You do know boys can settle things quickly that way. A few punches are thrown and it's usually all over with. Unlike girls, well, I'll stop. But some of these troubles in our lives we should look at like eighth grade. Let's get it done, all right? And get finished with it so we can move on. Amen. The experience is valuable. So we see all of these things lead to victory and triumph. Pastor Dan, it seems like God always gives you the victory, always gives you the triumph. Yeah, He does. Amen. Seemed like you had just got no troubles. Well, that ain't true. But I may look at the troubles a little different than you do. I may have learned some things about troubles that maybe would be helpful to some others. Now, when we think about our troubles, you're probably thinking about something that maybe you're going through now, something you'd like some help with now, something you'd like to have behind you now. We tend to think in short-term situations. You know, we just got to get through this time, and it'll all be better later on down the road. And then you get down to the next time, and it's not better, and then, well, we just need to get through the summer, right? And we just need to get through this. We tend to think short-term like that, where God thinks in lifetimes and generations. Some things He's doing in our lives is something He's doing through an entire lifetime. And some things that God does is more than one's lifetime, and it goes into generations. You can look at Israel and see that. Abraham had a promise of a promised land, and it took generations. If you dig in, you find out that Abraham never received that land, but his children did, generations later. So, God would work with you and me for lifetime outcomes, not just this trouble today. This trouble today, is He interested in it? Yeah, He's interested in it today, but He has a bigger picture than we do. We just want to be relieved of, let's say, this financial situation. But He's working on our trusting Him in finance for a lifetime. So something that's a challenge today, later down the road, it won't be a challenge. And you can get to a point where not much moves you or shakes you, even though it may get bigger and bigger and bigger. So God would work with us for lifetime outcomes where we are looking for immediate relief on a particular trouble. Again, stating my premise here, value of experience, there is immense value in experiences, in steps, in a history of moving through lesser to greater victories. In other words, learn your lessons while they don't feel easy, but learn them while they're easy, and then you'll be able to experience greater victories. God would build champions of all of us, champions who have many victories under our belts, if we would allow it. Now, understand what I'm saying. If you would allow God to grow you, He would bring you from victory to victory. The Bible says it this way, from faith to faith, glory to glory, on to greater and greater and greater and greater things. How would He do that? He would do that allowing certain tribulations to happen, where if you'll follow Him in the process, you'll gain that victory and you'll be better prepared for the next. And you'll go from small to larger to larger to larger. James chapter 1 and verse 2, please. Maybe right here I'll say this. What we've been going through and the victory we're gaining in Pastor Sandy being injured and hurt, I don't think I could have done like we are now 20 years ago. I didn't have enough experience and history of victory in God, enough experience of He's faithful to His Word, enough experience where His Word can never fail. You need a certain amount of experience with these things before you can take on some of the bigger. Now, if we ignore our opportunities earlier in life and we get older and something happens, we're not ready for it because we didn't go to school. You understand what I'm saying? The lesson was presented and I'm out of here. I'm not doing that. I can't handle this. You do understand there's some really bad things that people go to when they say, I can't handle this. It's many times where the alcohol trouble comes from, the drug trouble comes from, it's where suicide comes from. all kinds of destructive behavior and habits comes from, I can't do this, I can't do this. Instead of saying, now, Lord, I need help. Now, a lot of people were never taught that the Lord is there to help them. I understand that. But someone who keeps leaving the schoolhouse doesn't learn what they could have learned, and their experiences all become failures, and then that's what they expect the rest of their life is failures. And they become victims and can't never get ahead. You know how it is in this world system. A commonality is you look for someone to blame and you start blaming other people. And it even goes, one of the reasons our country is so divided is there are plenty of individuals who are willing to tell you your problem is them people. It'd be better if it wasn't for them people over there. God would bring great victories and build champions of all of us if we would allow it. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That sounds familiar. That's kind of like before. We were supposed to glory in tribulations. Now we're supposed to count it joy when we have a trial, a difficulty, a temptation. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James is saying when trouble comes, view it as an opportunity to come out on top. Oh, this is going to be good. Who would enjoy a movie that didn't have things go wrong to thicken the plot and get you kind of like, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen? And some of the most enjoyable movies are the ones where I didn't see how they were going to make it through, and they were victorious in the end. Yes, yes. Even a love story, that's what it's got to be. You almost know what's coming in some of these movies. You know, it's got to be complicated, you know. Like somebody's creeping along, going like this, you know, sneaking around because somebody's after him. You know, in the dark, an owl is going to fly up and spook him. Because it just thickens it up good, you know. Oh! You know, or something's going to happen, you know. The gun's going to jam. The car's going to not work. Just keep thickening the plot, you know, so that it gets better and better and better. And you enjoy it because in the end it's like, whew, I didn't know. I thought they weren't going to make it. I was just all, That's a good movie, right? God likes your life to be a good story. And what the outcome he likes is you got the victory when it was looking really unlikely. The audience, the people around you, the devil, everybody is like, oh, what's going to happen? I bet you he don't make it. Look out, look out, look out. And we all watch, but God knows. Let me put it, well, he does know the outcome, but God has an intended outcome. And not everybody gets to the outcome that God intends. I want to get to the outcomes that God intends. So patience, that's endurance, perseverance. Again, there is immense value in experience. So here's a question for you. Most of you know this. Our son Tim is a professional airline pilot. He's working today. He's not here. Anyway, now I'm a private pilot. And I have approaching 200 hours of experience. Okay? Okay. Who would you rather fly in the airplane with? Tim with, I bet he's crossed 6,000 hours by now, maybe 7,000 hours. Would you rather fly with Tim or with me? Tim? I'm hurt. Why? More experience. He's seen more in-air situations. He's had more training. He's had more victories. I'm up to 400 landings, you know. How many landings has Tim had? I wouldn't even know. He probably would have to really dig through the logbook to find that out. Do you know in your logbook you write down every landing? that you do, whether it's daytime, nighttime, and so on. So, I mean, I'm not weird counting how many times I've landed. It's required in the logbook that you write that down. But you'd rather fly with Tim than with me. Me too. I haven't flown in a little while, and this week I think I need to get back up in the air. Got some things coming up, and I better get, they call them perishable skills. You want to be smooth in the airplane and land it without two landings, you know, a bounce. You ever been in an airplane that does a bounce? Probably everybody has. It happens sometimes, but got to get back there. Got to get some recent, they call it in aviation, they call it recent experience or recency of experience. You know, if I haven't flown in 90 days, I can't take a passenger with me. Or more specifically, if I haven't done three landings in the last 90 days, I can't take a passenger with me. So the way it is right now, if you and I were to go out this afternoon, we're going to go fly, right? I'll say, wait right there a minute. And I'd go up in here and one, two, three. Okay, come on. And I have recency of experience. So all that stuff's counted. Because experience is very important. Do I prove the point? You'd rather follow someone with experience. You'd rather be under the care, a doctor with experience. Doc, you ever done this before? No, but I think it'll be all right. We'll just give it a whirl and see what happens. Yeah. You're going to have heart surgery. How many of these have you done? I Googled it. Saw it on YouTube. Well, I've seen it on YouTube too. I bet you I could do it. But you'll take a pass. If you want to be in your life a good pilot, you need training and experience. And when something starts going wrong, experience kicks in, as they say. You start training and you start having automatic reflexes. Again, airplanes. I had, well, two spots I had trouble with in my training. One of them was landing. I just didn't get it for a long time until one day I got it. The other one is stalls. A stall in an airplane is you get flying too slow and it falls out of the sky. It can happen. And you need to have reflexive reactions to it so that when it happens, you know, you do the right thing. Instead of, oh my God, oh boy, what do I do? I did that once. Not out loud, but I was with the instructor. And we're training stalls. And so get that airplane pulled back slower, slower, slower. And it went nose down and started rolling like that. And that'll get your attention. And I did what I was supposed to do, kind of recovered, but didn't get it fully right, and it did what they call a secondary stall. Secondary stalls are worse. And that baby just dropped the nose and rolled right over. And that time I thought, I didn't get it right here just seconds ago, so I went like this. Looked over at my instructor like, save us, please. And that's when he says I screamed like a girl. I didn't. But all the years bringing up Tim where I was the expert instructing him what to do, parenting, we call it, now the tables were turned. Tim was my instructor, and this was his chance to get back at me. So he exploited his chance to get back at me a number of times. One time I landed and looked over at him, you know, with the kind of, how was that? And he's shaking his head, and he goes, there's so much wrong with that. I don't know where to start. Well, I didn't break the airplane. I mean, let's start there. Airplane's still good. Anyway, experience. There's value in experience. And what I'm driving at here is you don't get experience without the tribulations, without the trials. And if you understand that, your view of trials and tribulations can change, and you can start to say, okay, let's go. And you can, like with stalls, now we had Emily up in the airplane one time. Every 2 years, I have to do a review with a flight instructor, check me out, say it's still okay. And she was in the airplane with us, and we were doing stalls. This is a different kind of airplane. Stall characteristics is a little bit different. But anyway, I stalled and recovered the airplane and did it 3 times. Emily didn't even know we stalled because I trained to have those reflexive reactions. I can sense it, feel it, here it comes, correct, keep it, and the airplane just does one of these. I catch it quick enough. This is what you want in your life. When you hit a stall, when you hit a tribulation, you want reflexive, correct actions, and you just bloop, and you carry on. Amen. That's what we're talking about. These experiences are so valuable to you, you need the tribulations or you won't gain them. All right. Why do we send children to school? To learn. Carry that further. Why do they need to learn? So they can survive in this world. We'll work with that one. We're attempting to create responsible people who can live an adult life independent of me, of the parent, hopefully of the government. That'd be a good place to be independent of, right? So we send kids to school, children to school. They need instruction and they need testing to produce skills which are necessary for successful adult independence. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I think our schools would be a whole lot better if they stuck to that. Those essentials. A lot of what they're going on, we don't need. In fact, it's harmful. So we need skills for victorious life. John 16, 33, please. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now we've looked at this verse before. It's just simply this. If you're alive and breathing and in this world, you're going to have troubles. Why me? Because you're in this world. That's a waste of time. Why me? Why me? Why? That's a waste of time. If you're given a math test when you're in grade school, why you? Because you're in grade school. You're in the class. You're going to get tested. It's part of this fallen world. Even Jesus had tribulation while he was here on the earth. If Jesus had tribulation, what makes us think we won't have tribulation? The perfect Son of God. And he had troubles. The college level math student, what kind of math do you take in college? Aren't you at like calculus and stuff like that, you know, depending on how fast you were in high school, or maybe remedial math? But anyway, college level math. The college level math student finds no trouble whatsoever in grade school math. Oh, this is easy. You just do that, you know, like if you're in college level, Algebra 1 might be really, really simple to you. I made it to Algebra 2. That's as far as I got. And then I got hired, first job out of high school, and I needed trigonometry already. So I had to scramble, learned a few formulas, and then I could do my job. The point being, you grow. And when you're at college level math, you're on to Algebra 1 and 2, then what comes next? Calculus 1, 2, trig 1, 2, calculus. And I don't know what comes after calculus, you know, but I didn't get that far. Didn't like it. But I will tell you this, I use math all the time. You're talking just simple multiplication and addition and so on. Well, that, you know, how many people can balance their checkbooks? As a for instance, how many people understand compounding interest? That'd be a good thing to understand. Compounding interest, whether you pay it, I don't like to pay it. I like to get it. Compounding interest, yeah. So we need some things. And then did a lot of carpentry in my day, still to this day. a bit of geometry, math, how to lay out a straight line. I use math for it all the time. The front door you came through, it's got an arch on the top of that wall up there. That was math. That was math that I did out in the parking lot to get that working. Skills, experience. I learned my grade school lessons and my high school lessons. This college-level math student, he has experience and has gained levels of mastery, and he's ready for greater things. Whatever you and I might be going through today is a level to be mastered. And then on to greater things. Greater things. You mean more difficult tests? Well, yes, but the greater test leads to greater blessing. For the individuals, I mean, I hear them, you hear them. I want to be a millionaire. Oh, there was a show. Who wants to be a millionaire, right? You had to know a lot of stuff to win that show, right? Who wants to be a millionaire? Well, there's a whole lot of lessons to go through to get to a place where you are able to produce, be paid, invest, and so on. You know, you don't just fall into it. You have to master lessons along the way. So the individual who might be a millionaire or a multimillionaire, they may have a bill come up that's $600,000, whereas you're, you know, maybe concerned about something that's $6,000 or $600. A $600,000 test would be a greater test. But it's somebody who's gained a mastery at higher levels. And they may have an easier time with $600,000 than you and I might at $600. Just in my giving life, I've seen how the Lord has challenged me this level, this level, this level. We recently had an offering, my biggest offering ever, at a time where I need to trust God for finance, right? We want to master these levels so we can move to greater things. So it was a bit of a dilemma for me. Lord, you're asking me to give this much? Woo, that's a lot. But it leads to a harvest on that much. Now that's starting to sound pretty good. I mean, if I reaped a multiple harvest on that giving, and I will, and if you were to hear about it, I wish that would happen to me. Well, I can tell you how. I can tell you how. When the Lord challenged me for $100 to give $100 in an offering, and that was like, you know, you break out in a sweat. I don't break out in a sweat over $100 no more. Why is that? I mastered that level, and I've gone on to greater things. The harvest on $100 or the harvest on $100,000, it's going to be two different harvests. Well, I wish I'd get that one. I can tell you how. Remember, tribulation produces patience and or perseverance, and this produces character and or experience. To build the experience bank, and this is what we're talking about, building up your experience bank, we must persevere through troubles all the way to victory. Sometimes people say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Usually somebody who's saying that got defeated in those things, and they want to be excused and say, well, yeah, I guess you can't help but be the way you are. Look what you've been through. But the person that they're talking to may have been through all of that and worse, mm-hmm. And they're victorious and out on top of it. Many don't persevere, and they keep doing the same lesson over and over to the same failure. You don't want to get stuck in third grade. I don't know if they do this anymore, but it used to be when I was in grade school, there was always that threat. You don't want to be held back. Right. Do third grade again. Right. No, I ought to be out of here. Well, then I better pass some tests. Yeah. And I better do some work because I don't want to do eighth grade. I don't want to do eighth grade again, ever. Although whatever the subject materials were, they would seem small to me, I suppose, at this point in time. But if you don't persevere, if you don't do the work, you don't graduate, and it becomes a failure. And if you got to do the lesson again and you fail again, and you do the lesson again and you fail again, if you would think of it as a bank account, Some folk are laying up victories in the experience bank, and others are laying up defeats. And there comes a point where somebody's had enough defeats, they just check out. They do not expect anything but defeat. Don't be like that. I'm growing, getting more and more that way to where I expect nothing but victory. Man, good things happen around me. You know, money chases me. Money finds me. Money jumps in my pocket, chases me down and jumps in my pocket. Does that happen to you? It happens to me because I've built experiences that way. It doesn't surprise me so much when somebody might give me a little bit of money. Well, I've got experiences that way. But it takes perseverance. When they go to the experience bank, they have mostly failures deposited and they have very little value to draw from. You want to have valuable experiences that teach you how to proceed. 1 Samuel 17:36, please. 1 Samuel 17:36, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Why did I pick this scripture? David, the shepherd boy, went through the lion level, graduated. He went through the bear level, graduated. And he's on to the next big test, the next big tribulation. He's coming face to face with a man, but not just a man, a giant and an experienced warrior. David is drawing from his experience bank. You know what? I came up against a lion. The Lord strengthened me and I killed that lion. And then another time, here comes a bear. And the Lord strengthened me again, and I killed that bear. Lion, bear, giant. I know what's going to happen. Here's that confident, favorable expectation, that hope. And hope will cause you to do something. What did he do? He picked out 5 smooth stones, put them in his shepherd's bag, and ran to the giant. Giant said, I'm going to cut off your head, feed you to the birds. David said, oh, now you've done it. Now that's exactly what I'm going to do to you because you said it. And David gained that victory. Experience is valuable. What if David would have come to the giant and said, you know, I've never been in a fight. I never won a battle. I done nothing but hang out with the sheep. And when I see a lion, I run as fast as them sheep do. We wouldn't know David as the giant killer today if he didn't come through lion, come through bear, then giant. And that was just the beginning of trials for David. You know, he had to defeat armies later on. Jeremiah 12:5, please. Jeremiah 12:5. The Lord says to the prophet here, he says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? The Lord is saying to the prophet, look, if in the easy stuff, it wore you out. What about when it gets really intense? And all of us would like to think that, you know, with God, God's going to be glorified in my life. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to accomplish that. We're going to do some big things. We're going to do some great things. Well, that would be like running with the horses, doing those big things. But if when you're running with the footmen, the people, and it wears you out, how are you going to do the big things? How are you going to run with horses? I'm learning how to run with the horses, right? In other words, go through your lessons, learn, overcome, look at the troubles differently. The Lord is interested in building out your experience portfolio. I'll call it a portfolio this time instead of a bank account. Your experience portfolio, your investments, where you have value. If you run into trouble and you had something in the portfolio that you could draw upon, you would be glad there was something in the portfolio. Isn't that right? So our experiences, you either have victories or you have defeats. Disengaging and going away from the battle produces a defeat. 1 Peter 4:12, please. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, troubles come, and they're going to come, and they're going to sometimes kick our butts. And if it kicks your butt, it's time to get up and go at it again. Maybe get some help from somebody, a little bit of teaching, a little bit of instruction, but go again. Go again. You know, we don't get promoted until we are victorious at that level. So don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised. Oh, what's this? Can't believe this is happening. Yeah, it's happening. This is normal. It's routine. So stop all the self-pity. Stop the victim talk. And stop the why me talk. I'm quite certain in my heart, if I would have gone to victim and why me, why this and so on, when that moment of she's injured, her life hangs in the balance, if I would have gone there, I think we would have lost her. That comes, it's time to get in gear, not to ask why. Asking why, the whole thing about why, is usually a pointless and damaging exercise to go through. Done some bear hunting in the woods in Canada. It was with three other men. And then you walk in the woods into a stand where you're going to hunt, and we're separated by several miles. So you're out there all by yourself in the wilderness, and bear have banker's hours. They don't get up early. So early morning bear hunting, just, you know, no. They sleep until noon. But anyway, we'd hunt afternoons till dark. By dark, they're really looking for something to eat. And well after dark, and then you're going to walk out of the woods in the dark to where you're going to be picked up, you know, by yourself. So anyway, I hope there's no bear right here right now, because I couldn't see him coming. But here's the illustration the Lord gave me. When you're out in the woods and suddenly attacked by a bear, it is not time to ask why or how did this happen? I was listening so carefully. Or where did that bear come from? Did he come from that way or from that way? It's not time for that. What's it time for? It's time to fight. Now, I had my rifle, but in case a bear knocked the rifle out of my hand, I wanted a second backup. Canada don't allow handguns, so I had a knife. Well, that's about what Pastor Webb thought. What are you going to do with that? I said, well, if I'm down to nothing else, I'm going to give it a real good try with the bear, you know. When something hits you, what's it time to do? Ask why? No. Asking how did this happen? No. Where did this come from? No. What's it time for? It's time to fight. It's time to get your weapon out and start fighting. And don't do any of this. Can't believe this bear is attacking me. Why me? Of all the people that could be attacked, why me? Well, you look particularly delicious right now, apparently. Like you'd make a good snack, right? And so you don't ask all those questions. You just get in the fight. I kind of resolved in my own heart, if it comes to that, I'm going all animal on that bear. That bear's going to be in trouble. Not just him charged. I'm not running from the bear. I'm running to it. I had a plan. You got to give it something for its mouth to do. So this arm goes up and it chews on your forearm while I'm boom, 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 taking care of the vitals on that bear. I had a plan. Do you have a plan if you get attacked? Amen. Amen. All right, well, time to stop. Time to stop. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if troubles come, it's part of this life. And when they come, it's time to fight. Fight, win, put that experience in the bank. You can say like David, the bear came and I slew the bear. I killed the bear. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. What the Lord is doing in your life is he, I'm not sure I want to say is designing a series of tests, because I think tests come no matter what. Jesus said trouble comes. But God, and we'll look at this, God makes sure the test is not more than the level you're at. We don't ask third graders to do college level math. That's a test they wouldn't have a hope of passing, right? Whatever level you're at, God has made sure you can be victorious in that test. And you want to be victorious in that test. Set aside why me and all your reasons. They don't help. Get fighting. You might say, I didn't bring a knife with me. I can tell you where to get one. I'm talking about God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Jesus showed us how to defeat the enemy. Gave him three quick jabs. It is written. You know what he said to the devil? It is written. It is written. And Jesus won. Jesus himself had to pass the test in tribulation, in trials. Jesus himself had to do it. So will you. So back to the central point, that experience is valuable. It's very valuable. Side note, we may get to it, don't know. But the Lord had me dwelling on the current generation and popular culture in our country is dismissing the wisdom of the elders. That is trouble. Well, now we got better ideas, and you know, and so, okay, well, you'll find out. You'll find out. Even the scriptures talk about ministers. Don't put a novice in the office of pastor. Put somebody in experienced. And if you're an inexperienced, you go in as a helper till you gain experience. Experience is extremely valuable. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your word and how exactly this applies to each one. We leave that with you, Holy Ghost. You are the teacher, and you can make the application, give the revelation and instruction. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope that helped you all. May not necessarily sound real inspiring and fun, but life is real, isn't it? And I believe there's real answers in the things we shared today. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.